Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a part two of a session that we're sort of calling, it's sort of a Q&S, a Q and song, or as Emily, our producer, called it, cue the song. So the song for this session is coming from Christina Reynolds, who is a regular now on these sessions, and we love having you. And last week, we just had the sweetest time together talking about what we're all going through and allowing all of us to be ministered to in song. And so we decided for you guys that we want to do it again.
Yes.
So we're gonna continue where we left off last week. And Christina, I love what we were just talking about, which was really about, I mean, is it, you know, coupling and dating and trying to find the right one? And then what if the right one is the wrong color?
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, I'm finding this a lot. And you said that you haven't run into this, but I've
No, you guys know you watch the sessions. I mean, my husband is white, and it was a real non-issue in my family, actually. Yeah. It was pretty much a non-issue with Roger too. His dad loved me until the day he died.
Yeah.
Thank God. So, we didn't encounter it. But I'm surprised in your generation that you would see it. We have a mutual friend who's kind of going through something.
Yeah, and just having difficulty with an interracial relationship with parents and their opinions and whether they accept or not. And it's very strange, but it's very strange. Because we were talking about in previous sessions with Sho Baraka about the importance of being kingdom-minded and having a kingdom culture, and not necessarily about you're white, you're black, you're Asian, you're Latino, whatever, but about we're all one big family. So I think having to experience something like that where you are not being accepted for your color of skin is so hurtful.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it's surprising to me because I'm also sitting here thinking, well, what's the song? You know, if you had to write a song for that, or do you have a song for that? Mm. What's the song that would actually minister to people who are struggling with feeling less than or unwelcome because of the color of their skin or?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think it. Yeah, so you're talking about the issue of not feeling accepted.
Yeah, that's really
it. Or feeling like cast out.
Yeah. I guess that's really it. Because at the end of the day, we know that it's not real. Color's not real, you know, especially in the body of Christ, right? We're all blood red, you know?
Yeah.
So the issue would be maybe you don't feel accepted. You know, you feel rejected for something that's essential to who you are.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I can think of a song that speaks specifically to that, because that is so detailed.
You know what?
So can you think of one?
Yeah, I did actually think of one. Whenever I feel awkward or uncomfortable about who I am, all I do is I remember the song, He Loves Us.
Do you know what's funny?
What?
That song has been in my head today. Okay. Yes, and I was actually going to...
Okay, give us a few bars. So this is for you if you're feeling just really and truly undervalued and unloved for who and what you are. This is for you.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your love is for me. And oh,
diets, I struggle with the reality that there are so many people around the world who don't feel loved.
Yeah.
I meet them all over the place. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to you sing that song and just talking to the Holy Spirit about the fact that, you know, so many people just don't understand how loved they are by God.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest identity crisis of the age.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I
remember when I first met Roger on an airplane, not at all suspecting he would become my husband one day, right? And man, the thing that he said to me that rocked my world was, he said, "You know God loves you, right?" Mm. And I just wept, because clearly I did not know that, you know?
Yeah.
Why do we think that our stuff takes us so far away from God? Like, it makes us so unworthy mm-hmm. of love.
Yeah, it's really weird because, you know, he saves you out of the pit of hell, literally. Yeah. Like, when I was saved, I was addicted to everything. Cocaine, weed, alcohol.
Addicted to addiction.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually addicted just to not feeling.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be aware of who I was and what I was dealing with. But that was my husband, CG, will tell you all the time, when she showed up, she was a mess. I was like, she has some extra friends, if you know what I mean. Someone needs to pray for her. Like, I was crazy and at my lowest, but that's where God snatched me up and, like, revealed his love to me and where I felt loved for the first time. So, like you're saying, it's insane that we would think that after that, now he's like, okay, you need to be perfect now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a song that comes out of the International House of Prayer. I don't know if you remember this one, called Dark But Lovely.
Oh, yes, Sarah Edwards. I've got to think about it really quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember that one? That one always.
You say.
Yes.
Lovely.
Exactly. Yes. That one always rocks my world, because for a lot of people watching, it's exactly this, like, they want to know, oh, how he loves us. But mm-hmm. part of them feels like, no, but he can't love me.
Yeah.
My mess is too dark. My life is mm-hmm. too dark. My problems are too deep and ugly. Mm-hmm. And they're not.
Yeah. I actually think of another song also that, but basically it's by Jonathan David and Melissa Helzer.
Oh.
And it's called You Came. Yes, You Came. It's called the Lazarus Song, which I think is so perfect because the lyrics say, "You stood outside my grave with tears still on your face. I heard you say my name and my night was turned to day." And the bridge is amazing because it's just, I love their songs, so they're so simple. It's easy just to grab on and like, okay, this is truth.
Yeah.
But they just declare, you are a miracle working God.
Yeah.
And
I love this one.
And it talks about not having fear and how at the sound of his voice, we're awakened, you know, and just realizing that he does that over and over again. He doesn't change. He's not like one time, stop, you're done, you know. Yeah. So that's always given me a lot of hope because he comes again and again.
Oh, man, give us a sample.
Okay. You stood outside my grave with tears still on your face, and I heard you say my name, and my night was turned to day. You came. I rose up
times in your life where you wondered if God would show up, like really wondered if he could show up?
You mean like questioned?
Yeah.
If it was true?
Yeah.
Yes, all the time. Or actually less now. Yes, yes.
Like where you thought, is my dream too big?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yes, I mean, I feel like that's, it's so funny because like all these things all connect with everything that we've been talking about throughout, you know, this whole season and all this, all these recordings, is just forgetting who he is and trying to do things in your own strength. And that's when it comes up, is when I'm losing faith and when I'm thinking that I'm supposed to do something.
Yeah.
I start forgetting about who he is. And I forget the fact that he's the one who put this dream in my heart.
Right.
I was a drug addict. I had no dreams for my life. My dream was to stay high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the fact that he could take a drug addict and make a worship leader and then give the gift of a family, a healthy family at that.
Yeah.
I'm like, his dreams, they're my dreams, you know?
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's funny because I hear you, which is really what happens when you have a testimony with the Lord. So for those of you watching, you need to understand this. Like, you're probably looking at her like I look at her every time she says, I was a drug addict. And I'm looking at you and part of me wants to laugh because I'm like, yeah, that's really cute. No, you weren't. Like, I really don't believe it. You look nothing like you were a drug addict.
Praise God. I don't.
Praise God. Well, I mean, I don't think I look like I got saved in a prison cell.
No, no.
In a foreign country,
yeah.
You know, in an abusive marriage, and you know all about staying high enough to not feel the pain, you know. And it's like, I look at myself sometimes, and for those of you drawn to this channel, you know, much less drawn to this show, what you have to understand is that if you stick with this journey, you will look at yourself at some point, and you will go, I don't even recognize the label attached to what I used to be, because the former self truly does die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy, you know, but going back to just the, you know, are my dreams too big for God?
Yeah.
I think about that because I meet young people all over the world. And, you know, when old people have dreams, but young people really have dreams. Young people just, like, I love it. You know, when I'm working with young people, they are at the finish line. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a creative project or a script that they've written, it is cast. They are at the award show. They're there. And I'm like, calm down, kids. Gotta raise the money. Gotta do this. Gotta do that. Gotta, you know what I mean? It's like you start to get, like, I don't know. I don't want to say feet on the ground, but you begin, reality comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reality is a really horrible thing in a lot of ways for the dreamer, right? Mm-hmm. Because everybody's there to tell you your dream's too big. You know, you don't have the education. You don't have the finances. You don't have the this. You don't have to have the that. So what do we do, you know, in your opinion, what do you do to pick yourself up and to remember, my dreams are not too big for God. He can show up. And if he put this dream inside of me, he's got a way to get it done.
Absolutely. It made me think of this one song, because actually, I named it Feeble, because that's how I feel at times. Mm. Just completely unable to do things. But I think when I'm really questioning my ability and his ability ultimately to bring something to pass, it's because I'm not thinking rightly, and I'm not seeing what he sees, you know. So prayer in my heart has been, this is just another little phrase that the Lord put in my heart one day during prayer when I was just like, you know, I'm really down on you, and I'm offended by the way you do things, God.
Yeah.
You know, why is it that over here people are prospering, the wicked are prospering, they're going after their dreams, and I have this dream, but it's for your kingdom. Why is the process so slow on my end? Do you know what I mean?
I want to do good. Get with it, God.
Get with it, God. Come
I'm trying
on.
To help people.
Yeah, like when I get into that comparison, and it's really actually unfair to compare my life with someone else's.
Yeah.
But so I started singing, what man cannot understand, would you come and reveal to me? Because there's obviously something that I'm missing here. And when I can get his perspective, then everything makes sense. Then it could take 20 years and maybe I'll be like 55 and I'll be like in my element, you know, because there's so much involved to his leadership.
Yeah.
the layers of like him maturing you and making you ready to be able to carry the weight of what you're asking for.
Yeah, so that is so well said. He is making you ready to carry the weight of what you're asking for.
Yeah, and the last thing I want is to have premature success and end up falling into pride and losing my reward in heaven and it all being nothing, unto nothing, but me losing myself. So that's a really, I have a song for that.
Oh, you got it. Okay, then you have to give us a sample. I actually want to hear this.
Yeah,
I really want to hear this one.
The Lord has really been speaking. It's so interesting that you're bringing that up because I feel like I know a lot of young dreamers, myself included, who have such big dreams but are starting, we're getting to that that age where it's like, man, I've been really giving my life to this and I'm not, it's like, why are these opportunities coming up and then they're being taken away?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Why am I getting, why is he exhilarating my heart for a moment? Just like, how cruel is he? And I've had those own accusations against God, sadly. And but what he's showing me, and in hindsight, I'm going, I wasn't ready. Yeah. These little opportunities, they're kisses from you just to show me, hey, Christine, I got you. Don't forget, this is who you are. But get ready. That's why I've said this preparation. Just think about Esther. She's, you have this whole thing about Esther and how she had to prepare before she could stand before the king. And, whatever that, was about. But I think of the same way.
Yeah.
He's preparing us because he's thinking about eternity as well. Like you said earlier, we care a lot about what happens now.
Right.
And he's going, girl, that is just a blip on the screen.
Right.
Like you have all of eternity.
Right.
For glory and influence and impact. And at this point, I'm like, God, I just want to love you. And I want to stand before you and you to say, good job.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, like, I know you. You're my friend.
Yeah.
And that's me is like, that's success. Like, I want to cry because I'm really like, that's where I'm at right now.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
That's what we want him to say when we stand before him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, we live in a world that, I mean, it connects us so much to the here and now that even that scripture, which is what we want God to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. It seems so far off that it's not real.
Yeah.
Feeble.
Oh, well, that's a song, but I'm actually now thinking of a different one. Yeah, this is one that I usually sing in the prayer room when I'm in the thick of it.
Okay.
Okay. So this one doesn't even have a name, but
this is something you wrote, but it doesn't have a name yet.
No, it's just oftentimes I'll come up with courses and weave them in together however the Lord leads. But
okay,
he's like, what? What is this?
Yeah,
no, it's not registered or anything. It's just.
Fully in love.
I totally got something so deep from that. The Lord said, this is what he's teaching you in that moment, and I think what he's ministering to all of you watching is the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord, and it is his pleasure to give you the desires of your heart. And you know, it's like you're singing just, I want to be ready. Don't let my love grow cold. I want to love you more. If we stay in that place, actually, of just total delight in him, he's all that we really want. He knows what our dreams are. Mm-hmm. Our dreams are not too big for him. You know, our desires are not too big for him. In fact, he wants to give us abundantly, exceedingly more than we can even think of.
Absolutely. It's Psalm 37. That's what actually Psalm 37 is one of my favorite chapters in Psalm. Yeah. In the Psalms. Because it literally it starts off saying, do not fret, do not worry about the wicked ones, and don't envy the wicked who prosper in their way, because
their end is not pretty.
Exactly. And not even that, but it's like their life is like the flowers of the field. They're here one day, they're gone tomorrow. Like it's fleeting. So maybe they'll have their glory now, but it's going to be gone like that. And that's when he says, trust in the Lord, do good, feed on his faithfulness, and then delight yourself in the Lord, because he is going to give you the desires of your heart. And that is like the passage that I have clung to for the last 13 years in singing the word.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so encouraging for you to share that too, because I mean, when you're like in your 20s and your 30s, man, the dream is the gasoline in the tank. Mm-hmm. And we get it, you know, I get it. And the beautiful thing about understanding this truth now is that what if God says you're going to have it exactly what you want? Mm-hmm. It's going to take 13 more years. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're 30, then you're like, oh, okay, 43. Okay, cool. Or if you're 20, you know, you're like, oh, that's at 33. You're cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, the problem is you don't know.
No.
The problem is that, you know, in that time where God's saying, trust me, mm-hmm. he's not saying I guarantee, he's saying, trust me. Mm-hmm. In that time, the enemy, the distractions, your flesh, you know, it's Abraham and Sarah and okay, go get the concubine.
Yeah.
You know, like we got to get a kid in here somehow. We start to mix in our own plans mm-hmm. into what God's trying to do with our life. Yeah. And that's when stuff gets wacky.
Yeah.
That's when the wilderness season is 40 years instead of 40 days.
Yeah. Yeah, when we try to take matters into our own hands. And the thing is that, like, I think what we sometimes, like, misunderstand is that time of waiting, it's not inactive. You're actively waiting. You're preparing. You are honing in your skill. You're developing your life in God. You're getting oil of intimacy. Like, I think people think, okay, I'm just going to wait here now. And you do everything. We still have to do our part. And that's why I'm like, it's active waiting. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Yeah, because the activity that we have to be engaged in is all about pursuing him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna jog. I'm jogging toward him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna do some exercises. I'm going to exercise my faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like our whole entire being should be immersed in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drops it. He sort of then, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, you look up and all of a sudden you've walked into part one of your dream or chapter three of your dream or, you know, a pivot,
mm-hmm.
you know, a life pivot. Because for those of you who are older, you may be sort of questioning what the next chapter is about in a life that you feel you've already maybe lived half of. And is there more? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more.
Yeah. You know? And I love it because you're like, we don't know. Like he's not saying in 10 years, this is the exact date. Because when he does that, you don't have to really trust every day. Yeah. And like the Lord is really after relationship. He doesn't want you to just be cool, chilling in the corner going, okay, she's good now. No, he's like super involved.
Super involved.
He wants to be part of it all. And that's another thing that I'm learning about the waiting and the disillusionment is, oh no, you want relationship and you want me to come to you with the angst, with the emotions, with the vomiting, the emotional vomiting, like, so that you can show yourself to me even more who you are. And then you get to grow and, you know, be ready for that.
So what do you have that you could sort of put an exclamation point behind this lesson, like that would minister to us in song?
Yeah. I recently wrote a song, and I just named it Good because I was lazy. But
I love
that. But it's kind of talking about the whole, like, you know, every need, you know, even my dreams, like you come alongside me and you do it with me, you know? And the whole point is he's not saying, yeah, just trust me, but he's saying, come to me, ask me. Yeah. I want you to ask me, you know? And the theme of it is just, you're good. Yeah. You're good. You're always good. And I'm going to keep singing it. And it took years for me to finally get that. Okay, you're good. Always good. It doesn't matter what happens. You're still good.
That's a perfect place to let you take us out.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going through, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Okay.
Every need you know and you provide. Every desire you know you satisfy. Even my biggest dreams, you come alongside me until they become my reality. There is no limit to your heart. You're truly generous, not just in part. So I shall never need any good thing, 'cause your hands, they're always open to me.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Cynthia Garrett. I hope you're enjoying the sessions. And I just wanted to encourage you to pick up a copy of Prodigal Daughter, A Journey Home to Identity. It's my testimony. And you know, I always say that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimonies are our story of what God has done in our life. So I hope that you'll share this journey with me through my book and through the many lessons that God taught me through sexual abuse, rape, cancer, being a single mom, and dealing with all kinds of issues just like every one of you has dealt with. Prodigal Daughter, I hope you'll pick up your copy today.